This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to The Cinnamon Effect. I'm Kimberly Hand, and today I'm here with Molly Coller.
Hey there, and welcome to The Cinnamon Effect podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Hand, and I'm thrilled to have you with me on this vibrant journey of discovery and growth. This podcast is your go-to space for embracing intention, where you'll find clarity on your unique path, deepen those meaningful connections, and unleash your creativity like never before. We'll explore how to build unshakable confidence and celebrate the beauty of gratitude, all while savoring the calm that consistency brings to our lives. Thank you for being with me. Let's sprinkle a little cinnamon into your day and make life sweeter, healthier, and more fulfilling.
Molly is a public speaker, entrepreneur, sales and confidence coach, and creator who helps people turn self-belief into tangible results. With over a decade of experience in enterprise sales and relationship management for Fortune 500 companies, she built her career mastering how to pitch, communicate value, and close with confidence. Today, she's the founder and CEO of Molly Louise Creative, a boutique New York City-based agency that combines storytelling, strategy, and empowerment to help brands and entrepreneurs grow. Through her signature talk, Confidence is Currency, How to Pitch Yourself in Business, Careers, and Life, Molly teaches audiences how to align who they are with what they want, empowering them to confidently show up, ask for more, and create opportunities instead of waiting for them. Molly, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Kimberly. I really appreciate it.
Well, we have to say our little backstory. Molly and I met at our friend Jess's wedding, and we sat right next to each other. Right. And we kind of just like hit it off, started talking and, you know, rapping. And then Molly and I collaborated on some things. And so you were a really positive influence in my life, in my business, and, you know, in podcasting and really coaching me how to show up with confidence. And so I am so glad you're here today talking about confidence as currency. I wore my tiger's eye. So I had this like thought of, I'm going to wear this tiger's eye necklace. I bought one myself, and my mother-in-law actually just gave me this longer one. And so this morning I was like, I'm going to put this tiger's eye on. And then I Googled it, and it says that tiger's eye is great for self-confidence and spiritual growth. So I was like, how perfect is that?
I love that. I love that. I'm going to have to get one myself.
Yeah, you need some tiger's eye. I was like, okay, boom, this is perfect. So I want to start with, what do you mean by confidence is currency? What do you mean by that statement?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Kimberly. I just want to say you were an integral part of my business growth. I mean, you were one of my first clients, and working with you, like, I got to kind of hone in on my skills, and that was just so cool. So I'm so happy to be here. It's a great question. I mean, what is confidence is currency, right? And the way that I think about this, having been in sales, I had to figure out how to make myself confident enough to walk into a room with, you know, sometimes 10 to 15 men and ask for $1 million. And just to go back a little bit, I was really bullied severely in elementary school, middle school, and even a little bit into high school. And I really worked on myself to make myself confident enough. And once I got into sales, I really had to escalate that times 10, because not only did I have to be the face of the company when I was, you know, talking to some of the biggest Fortune 500 companies in the world, but I had to come off really confident and that I knew my product. And so what I realized is the more confidence that you have and the more clarity on the product that you have, the more persistence that you have and consistency about how much you know your product, how much you love yourself, that's what's going to make you money. The money and success, right, will come, but what's going to get you there and open the doors is your confidence. And so that's the wealth that never goes out of style.
That's absolutely right. Now, like, I feel like when you talk about sales, because I was in sales too, and it really does hone the confidence muscle, because you're putting yourself out there day after day after day. You're getting rejected. You are, you know, pounding the pavement, making phone calls, getting turned down, getting resistance when you're selling something. And what a great, like, I feel like I learned so much about myself during that process. I also realized, like, I don't love sales. I was like, this is just because it kind of takes a toll on you, I think. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but I do think, like, at some point everyone should work in sales selling something.
Yeah. And you know, it is, sales is, a lot of people think of sales as like pounding the pavement, rejection, and a lot of that is, right? But at the end of the day, that's life. How many times have you gone on a date and you have to sell yourself, right? You're pitching yourself, or you're asking for a raise and you have to pitch yourself. You have to ask for what you want. And all of that is a sales mindset. And if you can reframe your mindset to be, I'm doing myself and others a disservice by not asking for what I want, by not advocating for myself, then you can sell anything you want. You could sell ice to an Eskimo, right? And so the more that you do that, and the more that you talk to people about that, and the more that you advocate for yourself and figure out the sales mindset of, and implementing that into your daily life, then the better you're going to be at everything. And the less rejection is going to feel like no, and, you know, this terrible, awful thing. And it's going to feel more like a redirection, because you love yourself so much and you feel so confident in yourself that no one can tell you otherwise. And so at the end of the day, everything that you do is sales. Even me calling you to ask you, can I come on this podcast, right? That was me pitching. And here's why, Kimberly, right? And that's sales. So everything you do is sales, whether you like it or not, you're in it.
Yeah, that's true. And do you think that everyone should have, like, it may sound funny, but I was thinking about this as I was getting ready. You know, they say everyone should have the 30-second elevator pitch. And I kind of believe that people, even if you don't have a product or a service that you're pitching, there's always something that you can put yourself out into the world. Like, say you are someone, you're a stay-at-home mom. and you're not working in a typical business setting, but you are really passionate about philanthropy and you know, volunteering your time. And so I feel like even, you know, that everyone should have this kind of pitch of like, this is what I'm working on. This is who I am. Like, to be able to summarize, you know, who you are, what you want, what your motivation is or your intention is in life. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the biggest things, right? And, you know, no one wakes up with confidence, right? Like that's not the amazing thing about confidence is it's not a personality trait. It's something that can be learned, practiced, honed. And part of that is also clarity on, do you know your product enough? Maybe that product is you, and it should be you, right? Because if you know yourself and you know enough about yourself, what makes you tick, what your strengths, your weaknesses are, then if you happen to be selling a podcast, right? Or you're asking for a brand partnership, or you're asking for money for your business, that's going to travel into, okay, I don't just know myself, but I know my product too. And the more clarity and knowledge that you have on your product and creating that elevator pitch that's clear and concise, that is so important. And having that confidence and clarity and a clear, concise elevator pitch for whatever that is, right? That's going to go a long way, because people are going to be able to listen to that, pick that up and be like, oh yeah, I want to talk to her. I want to buy from her. And people buy from people that they like and they trust. It's not always who has the best product or who looks the best or who's the most successful, right? It's like, do I like you? Do I want to work with you? And that goes a long way for sure.
Now, how do you find that you boil down that clarity? How do you get clear on what it is you are selling, or, you know, if it is yourself, how do you kind of hone that message into something very concise? Because I think a lot of people get lost in the details or they overthink it. And so how do you suggest doing that?
I think there's a couple different ways, right? I think the biggest part of, I think going from trying to figure out like things in small steps. And I think that the small steps of growth is really important, right? And that can start with celebrating the small wins, right? You're celebrating the small wins. What do those small wins look like to you? What do those small things look like to you to be able to like stay positive, right? And then once you figure out those positive things, then what are you doing daily that you're enjoying? And then once you figure out, okay, what am I doing daily that I'm enjoying? What is now I'm a part of that product selling, right? And how can we put those things together? What do I enjoy? What am I selling? Because I think a lot of times people are kind of all over the place. And I think it's very dependent on the business, right? But like, hypothetically speaking, a business owner, a lot of times you start a business and you're kind of all over the place with what you want to talk about, what you want to pitch. But as you celebrate those small wins and you figure out, okay, this is what I really won at today. This is what I really enjoyed. And this is what I'm selling. And this is the best part of that, that this is the part of the business that I really love. Then that's how you get really concise. And just about also practice, right? And once you kind of go through those steps of celebrating that, creating, okay, here's what I really love about my business. And here's what I'm really, really good at. But at the end of the day, it's trial and error too, right? You have to practice. Practice makes perfect, and it's trial and error and figuring that out. And I think the more often that you do it, I mean, even for me, it took me like a whole year to kind of figure out this confidence is currency. And I had to do a billion different things just try and figure that out. But the more I celebrated the small wins and the more I kind of narrowed my path in a variety of different directions and kept narrowing and narrowing and narrowing, then I was able to figure out, okay, this is how I'm going to hone this in. And now I can talk about it. And so I think it's a couple of different ways that you kind of build that like small, narrow path that you can then like pitch really, really clearly.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I do think like you're right, the trial and error, because you're going to try things. You're going to think that you're going to like this thing over here. And then you try it and you're like, oh, actually, I really do not like that part of it. right? And I feel like even in like podcasting, when I started, I was like, oh, I think I'm really going to enjoy this part of it. Well, no, actually, that's the part I don't like. And you know, I like this part over here. So it's kind of morphing into something different. Or I like to talk about these topics. I thought I was really going to want to talk about these topics, but no, I'm like more veering over this way, right? So like, I feel like, yeah, that takes a little bit of time too. Now, when you said that confidence is not a trait, because one thought that was going through my head was, do you think some people are just like naturally confident, or is it something that everyone should be working on in some capacity in their life?
I think that people are maybe born with a little bit of more of like social outgoing skills, right? But mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily equate with confidence. I think about myself, I'm really outgoing, and no one would think that I have any sort of social anxiety or, you know, mental health issues, depression, right? Like I suffer from a lot of different things, anxiety, OCD, depression, to get, you know, really vulnerable here. And I don't wake up with confidence all the time. Sometimes I wake up and I'm feeling really down on myself. I'm feeling inadequate. And it's celebrating those small wins and doing those practices daily, right, that helps me get there. But I have the outgoing skills, right, where mm-hmm. I can walk into a room, but it's all about the mental things that I do daily to get there, celebrating the small wins, speaking positively, consistency, persistence, knowing myself, being knowledgeable about myself, my own product, right, and doing that daily, that gets me. And I think that can be learned, because I wasn't confident. I couldn't walk into a room. I mean, I would sit alone by myself at lunch, you know? So that I don't think people are just born with confidence. I think people work on themselves. I do think people know how to fake it a little bit better, right? Mm-hmm. But why fake it when you can really do that growth? That being said, if someone is out there and born confident, like props to you. Like that is incredible. Like,
pat on the back. Wish. I don't think I was that person. Well, I know I was not that person either. You know, like I had to work on it, and I've done a lot of things where I'm putting myself out there. And so people probably think, oh, she's really confident. Like she was, you know, an NFL cheerleader, or she's a podcast host, and that must equate to confidence. But I don't, that's really not the case. I think it's something that I desire to do. And I know to get there that I'm going to have to put myself out there. I'm going to have to work on that confidence to get there. But it's a journey and a process. So what was your journey like?
Sure.
Yeah. Like I'm curious to know, from going from a child who was bullied and had, you know, things going on at school, and how did you get to that place? Like, how did you realize the things that you needed to do to be able to put yourself out there in the ways that you have?
Yeah. Well, I think some of it goes to therapy, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's always good to talk to somebody. But
yeah,
in reality, you know, I was always a performer. I was a dancer like you. And I loved being on stage, and I loved performing. But I was really severely bullied for my looks, for not being smart. I was bullied by men, women. I was told every day I wasn't good enough, wasn't pretty enough. And when you're a child growing up with that, that is constant in your head, right? And you that's learned behavior. There was a point where I was covering mirrors. And I think what helped me was leaving that situation behind. I got a death threat. My mom took me out, put me in a different school.
Wow.
And I was still bullied then, but I was with enough new people that I could start to test the waters a little bit of like, well, what is my personality actually like? If I speak up in this manner, and I would do little tests. Then I got to high school and I auditioned for a high school where I didn't know anybody. And same sort of thing. I was able to kind of test my personality a little bit more. And who am I? Who is Molly? Right. And then I got to college and didn't know anybody there. And I constantly put myself in situations, actually, now that I think about it, where I didn't know anybody, because it gave me the opportunity to really come into my own. And even when I graduated college, I moved to Boston. I knew one person in Boston. So I was constantly taking myself to dinner, sitting alone at a bar, going to a volunteer event by myself. I went on a Euro trip by myself. I just randomly went with a group of people, and I constantly put myself in situations where I didn't know anybody. And sometimes those situations would be really tough, but I was constantly testing myself. And I think along the way, I really found out who I was, but there was still always a part of me that was like, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're never going to be on camera. You're never going to be on a podcast. You're never going to be the public speaker and the performer that you want to be, because I was constantly told that I wasn't good enough. Mm. And so I was constantly looking for validation that it was okay. And I ended up falling into sales at some point. I mean, I feel like I've lived 9 lives. I've had so many different jobs. All my friends, here. You know, make money. Like a million different jobs. And I sort of fell into sales. And I had no fear, because I just, again, you're talking to people that I've never met before. So I had no fear going into these situations. And there was something about, I feel like some people are the opposite, right? If you don't know someone, you're really fearful. But I trained myself to, if I don't know someone, I have no fear at all. I like give no, I don't know if I can curse on this, but
you can.
No Fs, right? And, you know, I just really had no fear doing that. And so in sales, I was able to practice that a lot. I would walk into a room and be like, hi, I'm Molly. And I kept kind of going with that. And eventually I was able to be, you know, the face of these large enterprise sales. And a lot of it is relationship building. There is a little bit of a performance behind that, right? You're really selling yourself. You're learning, you're speaking. And I went through a pretty rough period in the workplace where there was a lot of transition in the company, and there were men that came in, and I had kind of built this enterprise strategy from scratch and, you know, was pitching this. And I mean, I was living the good life. And then, you know, these men came in and kind of dismantled the whole thing and wanted to discount everything and just sell a very different way. I always sell on value. And long story short, the company, because of that, they were discounting, went through a layoff. And I'm sure there were other things that happened, but that's my theory.
Yeah.
And that was devastating, because the career and not knowing people and being able to ask for all this money, right? Like I got validation from that, the sale. But there was always a part of me that wasn't like living my dream or my truth of like this creative public speaking, being on camera. And after the layoff, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go on camera and like see. And I started to really like it, and I really enjoyed it. But I was like, you know what? I'm still not good enough for this. I still had it in my head. I'm not good enough. And I started doing exchanges for brands, filming them, editing them, because I had all this editing experience from high school. Again, 9 lives. Yeah. And I was like, but you know what? I don't think I'm good enough for this. And so I got another job. You know, similar sort of situation where I was striving and trying to build someone else's dreams. And then, you know, men come in and sort of tear them down in the corporate world. I mean, I love men. I have, you know, a wonderful boyfriend, but in this case scenario,
I will,
you know, this guy that we love, Will, this guy came in and, you know, told me I wasn't smart enough or good enough. And again, dismantled the team and, you know, did a huge layoff. And, you know, I sat with it and I was like, do I really want to do that again? Like, I know I'm better than this. And I think all those experiences, while it felt like rejection, ended up being redirection. And that's kind of when I was like, I'm going to stick it to the man. And I stuck it to the man hard, Kimberly. Like, I stuck it to the man. I was like, I'm just going to complete career change, do my own thing. And I started my own business of like filming behind the scenes and editing and influencer marketing and bookings for podcasts, right, for you. And, you know, I was doing ShopMy and LTK, and I was doing user-generated content and filming myself and like trying to make money everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of that, I've really honed in on what the business is and what I really want to do. And out kind of birthed this confidence is currency, how to pitch yourself in business, careers, and life. And all of those experience and all of those terrible things that happened and all of those redirections, I like to call them redirections instead of rejections. And that made me the confident person I am today. And that's not to say I wake up every morning confident. Sometimes a win for me is getting out of bed, but it's celebrating that win and being really confident. Okay, yeah, I got out of bed. Like, F yeah, you know? Yeah. And that's a very long story as to where I got.
Now, what was that moment like when you were saying to yourself, okay, I think I'm going to put myself in front of the camera? Like, because that is a big moment. I know in my own journey, it has been big. You know, I toyed with different things and I thought, oh, can I do this? Can I do that? And then when you take that big leap of, okay, here I am, you know, in my case, I'm starting my own show. I'm going to be showing up on camera and my voice every single week. And what does that look like? You know, it's a very, very scary moment, like at least for me it was. And I feel like when I see other women especially, that I'm like, oh, I see that woman taking the leap over there. I see her dipping her toe and she's putting herself out there, and I know what that feels like. And so what was that moment like for you?
Yeah, that was probably my hardest thing, stepping in front of a camera. I'm extremely hard on myself. I told you, right? Like I used to cover mirrors. I'm really hard on myself. And being in front of a camera, and not just being in front of a camera, but then you have to edit it. So you're staring at yourself constantly and editing it. And I was like, I saw all these other women, and actually it was really through TikTok, because I think Instagram is tough. Instagram is still a little bit of this, like, think of it like your work email. It's like very aesthetically pleasing. It's concise. It's clear. TikTok is like FaceTiming your bestie. And when I saw all these women doing this who are like honestly laying in bed like this, right? And I'm like, okay, like these women can do it. Not everybody is dolled up. And I kind of just was like, you know what? I'm going to forget the haters. I'm going to kill the noise. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to do it. And I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to edit it really quickly and I'm going to post it and see what happens. And even at minimum on TikTok or even on Instagram, right? You get 200 views, let's say. That's the minimum. 200 views, right? And like, yeah, that's low compared to millions, right? That these viral TikTokers and Instagrammers are getting. But 200 people, that's more people that have sat in a room with me in one day. Or have listened to me speak. 20 likes? That's more people who have raised their hand in a room with me, right, to ask me a question. 15 comments, 5 comments. That's more people engaging with me sometimes in a day when I'm working remote, right? And so again, celebrating those small wins. And yeah, sometimes it's hard. You know, I haven't gone viral yet, but virality and success, right? Those don't have to equate to each other. Just like money doesn't have to equate to your success. I personally think I'm more successful as a creator than a lot of creators with thousands and thousands of followers. I've just happened to monetize a lot more, right? Does that make me less successful though, because I haven't gone viral yet and they have? It's whatever you value.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But I think that those are, you know, different practices that can really help. And that I was, you know, I realized, okay, you just got to go for it. And you just got to, don't overthink it. And I think the overthinking really is what breaks you down.
Yeah. I like how, because I actually started to look at it this way too, because on social media, people want to, they want to put you in a category if you don't have 100,000 followers or more, or whatever the case may be, right? But like you, I do the same thing when I'm looking at views or you know, listenership. You know, you, if you had those people in a room with you, captive, and they're watching you and they're listening to what you have to say. And I agree with you, 200 people, nobody would shake a stick at 200 people in a room with you, right? Or coming to an event that you held or something like that. So we need to reframe that whole thing. And, you know, a lot of people are out there paying for followers, just gonna put it out there, you know? So like, so it's not all what it seems. And I love that you're celebrating those wins and also the not overthinking. So just editing the video quick, like get it out there. And I honestly,
get it out.
I've been a little soft, quiet on social media lately because I just haven't figured out what I want. You know, it's like, how do I want to show up? Like, is this impactful? I don't want to just be like, you know, running the camera at all times. Like for me, it has to feel intentional, right? So I am struggling with that a little bit. I'm going to be open in saying that because I think the journey is, it's long. If you are, you know, growing a personal brand, it's not like a, yes, I'm going to go viral and that's it, right? This is a very long journey of that's going to go the course of your career. And it's not like you can, I mean, you can stop and start, but like, it's not just like this quick thing. So I think that's what I'm struggling with right now. Like, how do I want to show up and at what pace do I want to show up at? I'm not an everyday girl. I just am not. I have tried. I'm just not. So I'm trying to like work through that as someone who has put themselves out there. I know that I have to be out there and be like relevant, right? So
Yeah. I think there's two parts to this. The first part is not just reframing your mindset around the views and overthinking that. It's also reminding yourself, and I'm a broken record when I say this, but this is really how I believe everything and how I've been able to get everything in life that I want or at least open doors for things that I want. I'm doing myself a disservice by not asking for what I want. Mm-hmm. So for you, every time you step on camera, every time I step on camera, I'm doing myself and others a disservice by not speaking to them. Even on days where I feel like I don't look good, I don't look pretty, right? If I have something to say, by being silent, I am doing everyone a disservice. And that, even for, you know, people listening, right, who aren't in the creator world, that applies to everything. You want a raise? You're afraid to ask. You're doing yourself a disservice because you're not telling your company that you want to raise. You're doing your company a disservice by not telling them because then they don't know. They don't know how to incentivize you and they're not always going to incentivize you. You want to go out with a guy and you're waiting for him or a woman or, you know, whatever, and you want to ask, you want to go on a date with them. If you don't reframe your mindset to be like, I am doing myself and them a disservice by not asking for what I want, like go up and ask. I mean, worst case, right? You get a redirection. You redirect to someone else. And that just goes for everything, including stepping on camera. So Kimberly, even if you're feeling like, okay, I don't know if this is intentional or this is going to add value, you have something to say, put it out in the world, right? And it doesn't matter if it's consistent or not. When you feel good and you feel ready, like just, you know, get out there and do it. And I think the more you do it, it's just about trial and error. And the more you do it, right, the more you're going to see, okay, this went well, this didn't go well, and what are the redirections that are happening here? And how can I, you know, complete this maybe better or, you know, transition it to work better in my favor this way? And I think that it's like, it's twofold of reframing your mindset so that you're not so worried and that you're thinking about, okay, how is this going to be intentional for everybody else? How is this going to be intentional for me? And I mean, I just even think about to, for myself, like even falling in love, like I don't want to say I chased my boyfriend. I followed up with him though. I was like, you need to get to know me. Like I am awesome. I am fabulous. Like, and I reframed my mindset to think like that. Like I am freaking awesome. Like, you need to get to know me. And I followed up with him because there was something in my heart that was like, no, this guy, and you can't do that for everybody, right? Like you want it to be at least somewhat intentional, of someone like you care about.
Yeah.
But reframing your mindset really helps with everything. And then once you are so confident in that, even if when it comes to posting, for example, right? I get on all the time and post different things. And it's just, and instead of worrying so much about everybody else, it's like, well, what did I want to say today? Mm. Right? And it doesn't have to necessarily make sense. Your feed, you know, people are just scrolling. They're not looking on your Instagram and seeing what matches what, right? And so I think it's two parts to that.
I think in my explanation to you, I realized how much I was overthinking it just based on what you said. But I want you to talk a little bit about how you did kind of get what you want with your current boyfriend and how you went after that. Because I think that is a fun story too.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it honestly, when I think about everything that I've been able to get, it's the same concept. It's the same reframing my mindset. And that's how I came up with this talk, because you can use this in a variety of different situations. I mean, with my boyfriend, for example, my boyfriend works in the media industry. So he's constantly, you know, getting called to do different things. And when I actually met him in college, we were friends. We, you know, basically he took me to formal in college, and after college we separated. And then on Hinge, I saw him and I made the first move. Hey, fancy seeing you here. Uh-huh. And we met up like really briefly with a group of friends. And then I put it out there, 'cause I was like, there's something in the universe that I kind of need to say. And I was like, so when are you going to take me out on a date? And he was like a little taken aback, but
I wasn't sure that
I wanted a relationship. I really just was like, oh, like, you know, it's, it, you know, we were, you know, in college we met, and I kind of just want to see how you are now. And I just kind of put myself out there, because I was like, why not? Like, who cares? I stopped thinking about what everybody else, how everybody else was going to react and what I wanted to do. And he asked me out on a date, and then something in the media happened. So we couldn't have the date, but he would send me a date for the next week. And I was like, okay. But then sometimes I wouldn't hear from him, and I'd follow up. And the dates just kept canceling because, you know, something happened, you know, it works in the news. So we had obviously all of these different situations in the world happening.
Yeah.
And a lot of women, I think, would have been like, all right, this is like exhausting. He doesn't really want me. But I was like, he's giving me an inch, and I'm going to take it for what it is. I'm only going to take it for so long, but I'm going to take it for what it is. I'm going to follow up, and I'm going to put myself out there. And I think in the dating world, I know in the dating world, I did that too. I stopped validating my text with my friend. Should I text him this? Should I text him? And I just went for it. If a guy would ghost me, so many of my friends would be like, oh no, like I'm going to have my power and not say anything. And I'd be like, no. I'm going to tell him off, because you did me wrong. You did me dirty, and you need to know. And whether or not he thought I was crazy for doing that, whatever, that's on him. Sometimes I would set a ghost emoji, and I'd be like, wow, I guess I'm like seeing ghosts now, or like, oh, didn't know I had a sixth sense. And that gave me my power back. And he might have been to his friends like, oh, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But I stopped caring, because it felt so good to do that and to get the closure. So for me, it felt really good to be like, no, I want to go out with this guy. And after the date, like if we're not feeling it, we're not feeling it. But I followed up enough where it was like, all right, we're in the same city now. And he was at kind of like a party with a group of guys. And I was like, do you want girls at your table? Because we haven't been able to figure out this date, and we need to figure out if this is right or not. And he was like, actually, yes. And I went with a girlfriend and we had a great time. And it was sort of like flowed after that. And he's the love of my life. He's my best friend. And if I really do believe if I didn't give him sort of.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A little push if I didn't. And it wasn't that he wasn't he was still sending the dates, right? He was still sending the reservation and the restaurant and the time. So it wasn't like I was like chasing him to this point, but like he was so crazed. I wasn't necessarily a priority. And I was like, no, 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 you're going to make me a priority. I'm going to show you why I should be a priority in your life. And I just reframed. I like can I curse?
Yeah, of course.
I mind fucked myself into being like, I'm doing you a disservice by you not coming out with me. Like you need to meet me. You need to get to know me. And I think that was how I approached everything in life, even with my business. You need to talk to me so that I can coach you, or you need to talk to me so that I can style you, or you need to, because my business is still a million different things. Mm-hmm. You need to talk to me so I can get on your podcast and show you what I made up, right?
That's right. And you are persistent. You are very persistent. Like I see that with you and I love it. I mean, I think it's amazing. I think we should all have that persistence and go after the things that we want. What do we have to lose? It's like, if you don't chase after it, you're never going to know. And there's also like this whole, well, you should attract it and not chase, right? That I feel like in the spiritual, like woo-woo world, people are like, oh, attract. But I think there's an element, for me, there's an element of speaking it, talking about it, going after it that comes along with that. Like you can't just like sit back and not do a thing. I don't believe that. I feel like you have to get the universe generating around you, and that helps with the magnetism. But I think you have to show some intention and some energy towards something. So
yes.
I completely agree with you on that.
Yes. And I'm so glad you hit on that, Kimberly, because I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it's less about, I mean, I am very into the universe. I love my angel numbers. I read my astrology all the time. I'm really into it. And I agree that you do attract kind of what you want or how what you think you're worthy of. But I think it starts with really loving yourself. I don't believe that I would have found the love of my life if I didn't believe in myself so much that I deserved. I didn't want to settle for anything less than what I knew my standards were. My standards got higher and higher as I got older and older. But if I didn't love myself and I didn't become so, instead of dating being like this void I need to fill, right? Instead of a man being a void I needed to fill, the man became the cherry on top. And all these things that I maybe needed were not actually needed. Like I got to the point where, again, I mind fucked myself to be like, okay, if the worst thing in the world is I'm single, living in an incredible city, have incredible friends, focusing on all these positives, have this career, and I happen to not find the partner, I'm okay, because I'd rather be single for the rest of my life than be with a partner who doesn't prioritize me, who doesn't care about me, that is not ready for a partnership. I don't want that. I don't have time for that. I don't have the energy for that. And I think that is growth, and that starts with really, really loving yourself so much that you don't feel like you need someone else to fill that void, that person is just going to be an added value. And could I imagine now living my life without him? No, but I still am independent and love myself that it feels very natural to have a partner versus like someone I really need. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important in that journey of finding who you are and really loving yourself first. And that goes into, again, your confidence is your currency, right? Your confidence. And the more that you have, the more wealth that you have, the more that you feel worthy of that wealth. And that's what's going to open the doors, whether it's for love or for career or for even small, like really small things of just asking for things, right? You're going to feel worthy enough to ask for those things that you want.
Love it. Love, love, love it. I want to know, what would you say to yourself when you were struggling as a kid, knowing what you know now? What would you go back and tell yourself?
Good question. I don't love looking at hindsight, right? Because a lot of times you can get into a rabbit hole of, well, I could have done this and I could have done that and should have, would have, could have. I think I would have said to myself, though, stop worrying about the validation and worrying that you're not good enough and start acting like you're good enough. And if that means getting on camera and starting a YouTube video, I mean, I remember when I was little and I would like stand in the mirror with my Barbies because I was watching like QVC with my grandmother, and I would like go through a whole skincare routine. I was meant to be on camera at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I told myself and I convinced myself I wasn't. And that would probably be my biggest advice. If there's something in your mind that you want to do, and even if you have a full-time job, do little pieces of it on the side. If that being on camera, if that's painting, if that's dancing, whatever it is, just do it. Even if it's an hour a week, right, where you start to do it and build your confidence that way. And that's really what I would tell me, just do it. Because now at the end of the day, what I've done is, which granted, all of these things in my life certainly lead to what I am doing now and making it what it is. But at the end of the day, I'm like a college grad again. I basically graduated. Thankfully, I you know, was making $500,000 in my job, and I was able to save, and I could do that and make that career pivot without having another full-time job, which if I didn't do that, I would have had to stay. But I became like had $0. I was starting with $0. And I was basically feeling like I was back right out of college, broke college kid, and starting from scratch. And when I could have, because I knew I wanted to be in some sort of performance, media, creative world. And I probably could have just done that a lot earlier. But granted, I wouldn't have had the life experience to be able to do that. So a very long-winded answer to that. But that's really what I would say. Just stop waiting for someone to validate that you're worthy enough. You're worthy enough. Yeah. Just go for it.
And just do it. Yeah. I love that. Now, what would you say to a mom of a girl, of a young girl? Like, I feel like, you know, to help instill that confidence in them. I think our women, yeah, our young girls, they need something. You know, and I think a lot of them are falling into all the validation that social media gives, the likes and all that. And I see it, and it's scary to me. I think, thank God, there was no social media back then. I had terrible skin. I would hate to see the photos that like resurfaced from that, you know. But yeah, what would you tell a mom that has like a teenage girl right now about, yeah, confidence?
It's interesting because on one hand, I agree, I would hate to have social media and be seeing that. On the other hand, though, like when I'm on TikTok, sometimes I see, especially at the times when I was bullied or not feeling good or having pimples, and when I see women talking about those things, it's like, oh, I'm not alone. So there is a part of me, and I think that's the point, is making them feel like they're not alone. And now that we do have social media, right, show them a creator that looks like them. Show them somebody that can resonate with them, and teach them again. And you know, you can pivot to this a little bit for a young woman, but or a young girl. But training them, you're not doing them any favors by not walking up to them, by not asking your teacher to regrade your paper because you don't think it was good enough, right? Have no fear, and teaching them that really early on. by not going up to that girl who's being, you know, mean to you and saying, "Hey, you're, I don't like this. I don't feel comfortable with this." And that girl might be really mean back, but teaching your daughter to feel really confident to be able to stand up for herself and to be able to ask for what she needs and what she wants, that's going to go into a lot of different things. God forbid something happens to her, she's going to be able to tell you, "Hey, this happened to me." And she's going to be able to stand up for herself and talk about that. And I think that's instilling confidence in women, feeling really comfortable in their own skin, feeling like by not speaking, by not asking, by not putting themselves out there, they're doing a disservice to themselves and to others and to the world, and telling them how wonderful they are and how much a piece of this world that they are, and that we need them. If you're a young girl and you're a mom and you're like, "Wow, my daughter is, you know, has some sort of talent," amazing. Like, let her show that, right? Because and teach her that it's important to want to show that. And I think that's really important in life. Even if it's not on camera, it's just in your living room and she puts together a performance. There's so many different little things that you can do to really make sure that your young children, men, women, grow up and are able to communicate and feel comfortable asking for things. So a lot of men don't feel comfortable with that too.
But I feel like the girls, you know,
it's more prominent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't have a girl, but like, I just feel like I see that, in that.
It is. You're right. And I think it's unfortunate that young women do have to deal with more of that. And we are harder on ourselves. And that's a societal thing as well. But I think if you can reframe your mindset, I wish I had this mindset early on, because I felt like I was doing myself a disservice every day by not standing up for myself to those kids, or by just like not caring. Like, I'm doing a disservice to myself by not like by caring too much, right? And you can you can mind fuck yourself in a variety of different ways, right? It can really be for anything. And you can make it funny, right? You can make it fun. Like, yeah, I'm doing myself a disservice by not buying that dress, right? Like, there's a lot of things that you can get very dangerous with this, right? Totally. But at the end of the day, it's things that you want. How are you retraining your mindset to get those things that you want in life? And I think you can train that at a very young age.
Yeah. I have a just was thinking of a story, because speaking about what you want and standing up for yourself, I actually had like a teachable moment with my son. We have this very difficult neighbor at where we live, and she has done different things, and I won't get into all of that, but she kind of came up to us. I was with my husband and my son and was very aggressively speaking to us. And I, who never would have done this probably 20 years ago, was like, "You don't talk to me that way. And you don't come up to my family and talk to me that way." And I really stood up for myself. And we like walked away. We were actually on bikes and we were like riding our bikes away. And I told my son, I said, "See, I said, you don't let anyone talk to you like that. And you have to stand up for yourself." And it was like in real, and his jaw just dropped, like, "What is mom doing?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's how it's done right there." Like, we're not going to let this person do this to us, and we're not going to let her talk to us this way. And so and he was like, "Okay, mom, like, all right, I got it."
Wow. So, I mean, and Kimberly, like, I'm so proud of you for that. It takes a lot to do that. And that's, like you said, that's not something, if you look back a decade ago, 20 years ago, that you would have done. And it's learned behavior, which is why confidence isn't, I don't look at it as like something you're necessarily born with. It's a learned behavior that you can practice and you can hone. And I think that's amazing. And again, it works in so many different situations, right? You and I talked about this. You're at a restaurant and you get a plate of food and it comes out cold. And how many of us are so afraid to be like, "Can you take it back?" Right. And you, just because you stand up for yourself, or just because you are asking for what you want or something different, doesn't mean that you have to be rude about it. Cause those are two different things. You can, you know, wave somebody over really nicely and say, "Hey, listen, so sorry to do this, but this is cold, and I just want you guys to know, and I'm really hoping that we can do something about it, whether we got to leave and you can comp this or take it back, right? Being very clear, asking for what you want, what would make you happy in that situation? Maybe it is comp, maybe it is getting a new meal. And being able to say that really nicely, not only are you respecting yourself and your needs, because if you walk out of there and you don't have something that you like, not only are you going to be unhappy, you're not going to be fulfilled, and you're not going to, and that restaurant isn't going to learn, right? And you're mm-hmm. going to walk away and give that restaurant a bad review, and that's bad on them, right? If they don't know, they can't fix it. And it's, again, doing yourself and others a disservice by not asking for what you want and to be broken record. And that applies anywhere from a restaurant. How many of us have had a bad haircut and we're afraid to say something? It's so important to be able to reframe your mindset to the point where I need to ask for what I want. And it's not being a Karen. It's not being, a bitch about it. It's you're simply asking for your needs. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think society tells us confident women are, bitches and whatever. And it's not the same. It's not the same. And I think people need to just get that out of their heads. Asking for what you want and being kind about it and leading with kindness, but still mm-hmm. asking for what you want is not the same as being a bitch or a Karen. And poor Karen. Like, I there are so many lovely Karens. I
there are. I know. And I feel terrible about that. Okay, Molly, one last question. What makes yep. you feel the most confident?
Oh, good question. What makes me feel the most confident? Truly, it's little wins. It's really, I've really learned to focus on the little wins. I think it used to be validation from work or validation from people. I always thought if I had a big job and I got a lot of money, I would feel better about myself or great about myself. I felt good, but I never got to that point. If I got in a relationship, I would feel amazing about my body and I would know that I'm beautiful. Still working on it, But I think what makes me feel most confident is the small wins. I got on camera and I got multiple likes and comments. I got out of bed in the morning and I got dressed and I put on makeup. I called my friend Kimberly and I asked to be on a podcast, which I've never done before. And she said yes.
And it's you crushed small. It.
Thank you. But it's small wins. And that's what makes me confident. And those are hard. Like, I was having a tough week, and I was feeling, I got some rejections and I was focusing on, okay, they're redirections. And I could have just sulked and not do anything. And instead I was like, nope, like this is the point in my life where I need to work harder and I need to work smarter and I need to have no fear and still ask. And what did I do? I DM'd 100 people yesterday asking for things, right? And that's what you just have to do. And that's what makes me feel most confident is being able to celebrate those small wins and realize, okay, just because this road isn't the right one, or maybe this road is closed, how many other paths are there out there? There's always something, and it's creative problem solving. There's always problem solving and ways that you can pivot. And I think being able to do that and accomplish that, that's what makes me the most confident.
I love it. I love it. Molly, this was such a great conversation. I want you to tell everyone how they can find you.
Yes. So you can follow me. My handles on both TikTok and Instagram are It's Molly Louise, ITSMOLLY, Louise, LOUISE. And you can also follow my business at Molly Louise Creative. And on both, I do a lot of variety of lifestyle, fashion, confidence is currency content. And feel free to DM me anytime, comment. I'm happy to help and just be there as your hype woman. I am here to hype you up. Like, you're going through a situation, let me know and I will tell you how you can reframe your mindset to realize you're doing them a disservice by not doing what you want.
I love it. And you're amazing at it. And I love your dose of confidence every day. So, Molly, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Cinnamon Effect. If you enjoyed our time together, don't forget to hit that follow button on your podcast app and sprinkle a little love by leaving us a 5-star rating and a quick review. Your support means the world to me. For even more goodness, check out the show notes where you'll find links to some of my favorite products. And don't forget to visit thecinnamoneffect.com to connect with me directly or to grab your TCE Gratitude Journal, your next step towards a more grateful life. I can't wait to spice things up with you again next time. Stay vibrant, stay inspired, and remember to add a little cinnamon to your life every day.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.